Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler along with Sam Rohr and Gary Dahl, and we have a very special guest with us today that we'll be introducing just a bit later. But Iran has tested another ballistic missile, and this, of course, is being done in violation of a UN resolution as well as the Iranian nuclear deal that was brokered by the Obama administration, a very controversial deal, to say the least. And then, friends, President Trump's 120-day suspension on immigrants and refugees is lighting up the media. That's absolutely amazing. That seems to be all anybody wants to talk about. In fact, even last evening, this 120-day suspension made its way into the Screen Actors Guild Awards show. There were numbers of comments about what President Trump has done there, and we're going to be discussing that coming up in just a second or two. And then, what happens when one of our country's most conservative and biblical denominations adopts a stance that is in support of mosque building? Well, friends, if you're paying attention, you know there was a shooting in a mosque in Quebec. There's also breaking news that talks about over the weekend there was the burning of a mosque somewhere in the state of Texas. We are monitoring that even as we speak. And if we can provide any more information on today's program, we will do so. But all of that is yet to come throughout the program. So, friends, you're not going to want to miss a second of today's program. It's power-packed with a lot of information that is going to be vitally, vitally important. Well, where I want to go first is this. Senate Democrats on Sunday attacked President Trump's recently imposed suspension on immigration from several mostly Muslim countries, calling the order, and it was an executive order, they're calling it unconstitutional, and they're seizing on some of the refugees and green card holders who were detained over the weekend at several U.S. airports and using that to fuel their political outrage. And friends, that is all it is political outrage. Listen to what Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois said. He said, and I quote, he has targeted or established, rather, a target of refugees. Well, the executive order that was signed on Friday includes a 120-day suspension of the U.S. refugee program and a 90-day ban on travel to the United States by citizens from the following countries. And these are all heavily Islamic countries and countries known to be the hotbeds of jihadist terrorists and the recruiting and development of them. And the countries are Iraq, Syria, Iran, Sudan, Libya, Somalia, and Yemen. If you know those names, you know these are countries from which we've had great difficulty in the past. And of course, in response to the accusations that he is banning all Muslims, Donald Trump said this, and I love the statement. He said, the world is an angry place. You think that this, that is the signing of this executive order, is going to make them angrier? It's an angry place already. Well, friends, before I ask Sam and Gary a couple of questions, I want to make a very short statement with respect to this. Those who have been paying attention to the incursion of Islamic entities into the United States over the last decade plus, know that what our president did on Friday with this executive order is basically, friends, a no-brainer. In fact, if we had done this 16 years ago, we may would not have experienced the 9/11 attacks and would not have to commemorate that horrific event annually every year. This is not xenophobia. This is not being anti-Muslim, nor is it being unconstitutional. This is nothing but common sense. And by the way, let me underscore this one last time. We are not at war with terrorism. Terror is a tactic, not an enemy. We are at war with Islamists who follow a rabidly evil ideology that is bent on the destruction of America and the Western way of life. Sam, I want to go to you with this question. Number one, in your estimation, as one who spent 17, almost 18 years in the Pennsylvania state legislature, you know how these things work. Is Trump's executive order with respect to these seven countries, the suspension of travel from them, from these countries for 120 days, 4 months, is that in any way inappropriate or unconstitutional?
Dave, no, it is absolutely not unconstitutional, and it is in every way appropriate. Why do I say that? Well, number one, the primary function of government is to protect its citizens. The president just took an oath of office. most of the world was watching, or a lot of the world was watching, where the promise was to defend American citizens in America against enemies foreign and abroad. This is in that context. So, Dave, it is absolutely correct and appropriate. Number one. Number two, the identification of these particular nations in this three-month ban is every way appropriate. It is, if it is, it is small, because he didn't include the entire Muslim world, Dave. These are only the worst actors where they know training bases are placed and where things are coming. And number three, Dave, he's not the first president to do it. Obama did it, and so did Bill Clinton. Funny thing how the press forgets about the fact that they did it. Now, whether or not they actually enforced what they said they were going to do, that's a different matter. But it is not appropriate, and it's not the first time it's been done. I think the difference here, I think the enforcement will actually take place.
Well, I do too, Sam. And again, what we also need to underscore is what he is doing is the fulfillment of a campaign promise. He is doing precisely what he said he would do, and so he is fulfilling that to the T. Gary, let me ask you this. I'm going to ask you to put yourself, and this is a frightening thing, inside the head of those on the left and the Democrats. And I want to ask you, what do you believe is the motivation behind those that are screaming so angrily over the weekend? What is the basis of their angst and their crying? Are they upset about losing what with respect to this temporary suspension of refugees and immigrants?
Well, first of all, I don't know that I can get into the head of those who are on the left. I've tried, but sometimes they are beyond my imagination to understand. I tell you the truth, I just think that they hate Donald Trump so much that they are going to do everything that they can to oppose him. And what they are doing is purely political. Just as Sam said, you know, Obama did it in 2011, Clinton did it in 1995, other presidents have done similar things, and, you know, there was not this resistance. But you have a group of people who, in my opinion, and this is my opinion, but you've got a group of people on the left who do not understand America's values. They don't understand the freedoms that this nation has. They don't understand what Islamic terrorism is all about. And so as a result of that, they are crying and weeping and wailing just like Chuck Schumer did yesterday. And so it would be a mixture of a political attempt to destroy Donald Trump, as well as not understanding what this nation is all about. And then I think, too, some of them, I really believe that some of them just want to weaken our nation by tearing down all the borders so that we can be a part of the whole global community, and that's not good.
Sam, let me ask you this. What about those on the side of the Christian community, those within the Christian community who are crying foul here and saying that this is a violation of our Statue of Liberty, which says, give me your tired, your huddled masses. Is this a violation of that?
Dave, absolutely it is not. No one ever imagined that we would invite in potential individuals who would destroy, intent on destroying our nation. Dave, those are not your poor people. This is a whole different matter.
Yeah, these do not meet the qualification of tired and huddled masses longing to be free. That is not what this is about at all. These are people intent on destroying America. Well, friends, when we come back, we're going to welcome a brand new guest to the program, Dr. Dean Hahn. And he believes something with great conviction. It motivated him to do something with respect to resignation. You're going to find out what that's all about when we come back after the break.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like: the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt was born this day, January 30th, 1882, in Hyde Park, New York. He was the 32nd president of the United States, serving over 12 years longer than any other president. He saw America through the Great Depression and World War II. In a 1935 radio broadcast, Franklin D. Roosevelt declared, "We cannot read the history of our rise and development as a nation without reckoning with the place the Bible has occupied in shaping the advances of the Republic. Where we have been the most consistent in obeying its precepts, we have attained the greatest measure of contentment and prosperity."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Hi, this is Ken Souter, your host for Biblically Speaking, a program designed to build a biblical worldview one program at a time. Join me every other Thursday from 7 to 8 a.m. right here on 1180 WFYL AM. You can email any questions to me at info@1180WFYL.com or call 610-539-TALK. That's 610-539-8255.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
It's been called Mosque Gate, and you may wonder what I'm referring to. Well, I'm referring to this. The Southern Baptist Convention has two entities that have done phenomenal work down through their existence. One of them is called the ERLC, or the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. By the way, that is an entity of the SBC that is given about $4 million a year from the Southern Baptist Convention. And the other entity is called the IMB, which stands for International Mission Board, and what they have done for world missions probably cannot be calculated. But very recently, ERLC, the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission's president, Russell Moore, advocated building a mosque in a local New Jersey township. And the township had objected to the building of the mosque, not over religion, but over standard zoning regulations. Well, Russell Moore entered the fray, and he was not alone in entering into the fray with respect to this and encouraging the building of the mosque, but signing the amicus brief in favor of the federal government transcending local municipal control of its own zoning ordinance was also Dr. David Platt, who is the president of the Southern Baptist Convention's International Mission Board. Why the president of the SBC's Foreign Mission Board felt it necessary to venture into a zoning law is a good question in and of itself. And why the president of an organization designed to promote Christian values, which is what the ERLC is, was fighting for the building of a false temple of worship is equally a good question. And thankfully, there's a number of people, including our guest, that is beginning to ask these questions. Our guest today is Dr. Dean Hahn. He's pastor of First Baptist Church of Morristown, Tennessee, and he was, up until very recently, a trustee of the International Mission Board. And Dr. Hahn claims that he had no idea that the International Mission Board had signed on to the amicus brief to assist in the mosque's construction until he started getting calls from concerned individuals who had read about the decision online. First of all, Dr. Hahn, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap today. Thank you so much for being on with us today.
Thank you, Dave. It's an honor to be with you guys today, and I appreciate what you guys do to proclaim the Bible and that we stand on God's inerrant word.
Well, we thank you for your courageous stand as well. Could I ask you this just to start our discussion? The description I just gave about how everything unfolded with the mosque building and Russell Moore and David Platt's involvement with their two organizations, is that accurate? And if there's anything that needs to be changed, let me know and share any additional information if you would, please.
Sure. Well, the Mosque Society in New Jersey filed a federal lawsuit in March of last year. And finally, the amicus brief was signed by 20 different organizations, including the two from the Southern Baptist Convention that you mentioned, the ERLC and the IMB, the middle of May. We had an International Mission Board trustee meeting the 1st of May, and as trustees, we were never told that the IMB had signed on to this amicus brief. And I was quite startled in the middle of June after our Southern Baptist Convention when I started having a host of pastors calling me and saying, why did the IMB sign on to this amicus brief? My very first reaction was, you're absolutely crazy. We didn't do that. We would never do something like that. And then I began to do my own research and unfortunately found out that we had indeed signed on to this amicus brief. And my first reaction was just total shock. First of all, that we as trustees had not been told. The only thing that I can think of is that they just didn't think it was that big a deal. They thought it was a religious liberty issue, and so they signed on with it. But not only were we not told, but then it had absolutely nothing to do with our mission of reaching the world for Christ. As a matter of fact, it is a local issue in terms of being a North American issue, and all of our efforts are international missions. And I even spoke with a trustee of our Southern Baptist North American Mission Board, and his words were, in quote, we would never touch it. And so it was just very puzzling to me as a trustee that, number one, we were never told, and then number two, that we would do something like this in a North American issue that had nothing to do with our mission of reaching the world for Christ.
Well, Pastor Hahn, I'd like to follow up here with you on that and see if you've been able to uncover perhaps a little bit of the motivation, and I think it's going to go a different, you know, it could go a number of different ways, I know, but this we have talked about on the program. We know that the Muslim Brotherhood has infiltrated many different organizations. They have as a part of their strategy what they call an interfaith coalition. They've reached out to try and pull in existing denominations and others as a way of participating and helping to give the appearance that they are just another religion and just like everybody else. Have you seen or sensed any kind of a definite Muslim impact or connection here that could have given rise to this decision?
You know, I'm not sure that I can actually speak to that because I've not been in the inner workings of both of these institutions. I was chairman, by the way, of the North Africa Middle East Affinity for the International Mission Board for 2 years. I can say to you that there is not one Muslim country that allows churches to be built in their countries. And not only that, but if we think that, and this was one rationale behind signing this amicus brief, that our International Mission Board felt it might soften the hearts of the governments of Muslim nations so that we could have a greater opportunity to build churches. But all of our missionaries that are in these Muslim countries are there in secret. And they cannot even divulge the fact that they are working with or for the International Mission Board, or they will be sent home or worse. And so that whole idea or concept behind this action just doesn't hold true at all.
You know, Pastor, we here on Stand in the Gap today, we've been following some of the actions of the ERLC and IMB and so forth and so on recent broadcasts, and we've talked about it over the air. And so what we are talking about here is not the only controversy that has come out of the ERC and the IMB. And my question to you is actually sort of multifaceted. First of all, do you see a direction or trend that is disturbing, even in the broader sense, in the Southern Baptist Convention? And if so, what is the motivating factor for these changes? Now, I realize that there are some millennials coming on board within the Southern Baptist Church and denomination. Do you think that there is an effort by those millennial pastors, et cetera, to become more open to Islam and more, and therefore more welcoming, as it were, into the Baptist community?
I certainly think there is a greater trend in that direction. And I know that our former leaders of the International Mission Board and Richard Land, who was president of the ERLC before Russell Moore took over, he actually was invited to be a part of one of these interfaith coalitions for the sake of helping the Muslims to build mosques around the country. But he said, while I believe strongly in religious liberty, I know that the people that I represent, my constituents, Southern Baptists, would not go for it. Therefore, I cannot be a part of this. And so that was our former leadership with the ERLC. And
right.
Again, I can only speak for what has happened recently. And I personally love David Platt. I think he is a great, great man. I've never met anyone as a young man that has a greater passion for reaching the world for Christ. But I certainly cannot go with this decision that they have made, even if it's in the name of religious liberty. To me, the greater problem here is scriptural violation.
Amen.
And that's an unholy alliance as prevented by the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 6,
right.
14 and 15. And that was the key issue for me. Not religious liberty, but scriptural
biblical
violence.
Truth.
Yes, yeah. Biblical truth.
Dr. Hahn, let me say this. We know, all three of us, Sam Geary and I know Dr. Richard Land very, very well. We have done some things together with him at his new ministry in Charlotte, North Carolina. We have great respect for him. This thing that you just said, the scriptural violation, is what motivated you to actually resign from the International Mission Board. Has your resignation prompted others to consider the biblical violation that you believe has occurred here?
You know, I don't know. I do know that this whole issue now is going to be on the agenda of the upcoming meeting, and the trustees are going to talk about it. And let me just say to you and to the listeners that are there, I actually resigned in November, but because I did not want to hurt our missionaries and allow the story of my resignation to be released right before we take up our major offering for all of our missionaries across the world, I actually asked our State Baptist editor to refrain from releasing the story until the end of January so that we could pass those offerings, because I knew that that would probably impact our missionaries. So I want to say that right up front, that I've tried to do everything I can to protect our missionaries, because they had absolutely nothing to do with this decision to sign the amicus brief. But definitely it was a scriptural thing for me. I feel like that scriptural authority far outweighs religious liberty, and so that's why I made the
Amen.
Call that I did.
Well, you're listening, friends, to Dr. Dean Hahn. He is the pastor of First Baptist Church of Morristown, Tennessee. He has been a trustee member of the International Mission Board. And when we come back from the break, we're going to be just dialing down a little bit more with respect to Islamic ideological influence in the United States of America, and talking with our special guest about that. Friend, this is the hottest topic going in the United States of America right now. with respect to Donald Trump, our 45th president, signing this Muslim suspension of travel. So join us after the break. Don't miss this conversation.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. President Trump says he's got a major announcement to make.
On the United States Supreme Court, that is going to be announced tomorrow night from the White House at 8 o'clock. A person who is unbelievably highly respected, and I think you will be very impressed with this person.
The ninth seat on the court's been vacant since the death of Justice Antonin Scalia nearly a year ago. The Senate's likely to move today on one of the president's top cabinet picks.
The U.S. Senate is expected to take a procedural vote on Rex Tillerson's nomination for Secretary of State this afternoon, clearing the way for a final vote as soon as Wednesday. The upper chamber is also expected to take a final vote on Elaine Chao's nomination to be Transportation Secretary this week.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland to vote on Attorney General nominee Jeff Sessions expected this week, too. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYL.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. This past Friday, I traveled down to Washington, D.C. on a bus with my wife, Susan, and a bunch of other great folks from a couple of churches in the Harrisburg area, including my own. The occasion, the annual March for Life, held annually for more than four decades on or around the anniversary of the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision that imposed abortion on demand on all 50 states. We and the hundreds of thousands of others gathered to take a stand for life and to call for a change in policy and culture that would bring respect for all human life from conception until natural death. There's a hopefulness in the air given the change in administration in Washington, and we at Pennsylvania Family Institute will, with your help, continue to work diligently to help build a Pennsylvania where God is honored, religious freedom flourishes, families thrive, and that all human life is cherished. Find out more about our work at pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
The threat of the growing Islamic ideological influence in America has often been a topic of discussion on this program. And we've had guests, some of the nations and even the world's most brilliant apologists against Islamic ideology and theology. And I'm talking about Tom Wallace, IQ Al-Rasuli, John Guandalo, Chris Kabatz of Understanding the Threat. And now today, our special guest is Dr. Dean Hahn. He is the pastor of First Baptist Church of Morristown, Tennessee, and he's also been a member of the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention, again, a very influential and powerful entity that has done phenomenal work for international missions for decades. And Dr. Hahn has recently resigned. He just stated in the prior segment in November from that board because he had an issue with what he believed was a violation of biblical truth. Let me go here if I can, Dr. Hahn. We obviously understand, at least here at Stand in the Gap today, that there is a very real and growing threat with Islamic ideology. We're more than concerned about it. I think our present president understands the threat. That's what necessitated the signing of this executive order limiting access for 120 days or 4 months from these seven countries. Brother Dean, do you believe That there is difficulty on the part of Russell Moore and David Platt with comprehending the threat that Islamic ideology opposes in America? Or, I mean, what's going on that they seem to be taking what appears to us to be a very soft stance with respect to this?
I think at the very, very least, there's some naivete there, because if you understand Islam, and I know that you men do, and you have broadcast this on your radio network, if you understand Islam, the very name Islam means to submit. And if the shoe was on the other foot, I doubt that Muslims would be advocating for the rights of Christian churches to be built. It's just not a part of their ideology. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Reza Safa. He was once a devout practicing Shiite Muslim. He's now a minister of the gospel, and he made the statement that recognizing Islam as a system of religious belief is the gravest mistake that the Western governments have made in this era. And he said that because he knew what their plan was. He knew what their ultimate goal was, and that was not to get along and not to cooperate, but to dominate and to take over. And he made the statement that when he was a part of the Shiite religion, that he had uncovered the outline and the plan of Islam for America. And he recorded in his writings, he said, "We will fight the infidel to death. Meanwhile, American laws will protect us. Leftists will support us. The United Nations will legitimize us. CARE will incubate us. The ACLU will empower us. Western universities will educate us. Mosques will shelter us. OPEC will finance us. Hollywood will love us. And the United Nations Secretary General will pass politically correct, sympathetic statements for jihadists." I think, at the very least, gentlemen, that we've got to take the blinders off. Are we so naive that we'll just blindly walk into their trap? Mm. And I certainly believe that they are using our freedom and our democracy and our laws against us to be able to do what they're trying to accomplish in America.
You know, this is one of the things that we talk about a lot here on Stand in the Gap today, Dr. Hahn, and I appreciate your insight in understanding what Islam is. I mean, you know, their goal is to have Sharia law all around the world and to
a global caliphate.
Exactly. You took you took the words right out of my mouth, but we know that that's exactly what they're going to do. But I want to make a little bit of a shift here. In the last segment, we were talking somewhat about religious freedom, that this is something that is out there and so forth and so on. You know, a while ago, and I can't remember the exact topic, but as I said, we've been following what's been going on within the Southern Baptist Convention and particularly the ERLC. But there was some particular battle that Russell Moore was dealing with, and it could have either been the transgender situation or the same-sex marriage situation or whatever the case. Doesn't make much difference here. But he basically said this. He said, "We've lost that battle, and now it's time for us to focus on religious freedom." Do you remember that particular statement or a statement, something like that, that came from Russell Moore several months back?
Yes, I remember that that was discussed a lot by pastors at the Southern Baptist Convention, and many of them were questioning, saying, "Guys, exactly what direction is this trying to take us?"
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there was much discussion about a lot of those issues.
Yeah. Well, where I'm going with this is sometimes people don't understand the difference between religious freedom and biblical truth. I mean, they say, well, we know that we have religious freedom here in the United States of America. But in these situations that we are talking about here today, Dr. Hahn, if you don't mind, please distinguish the difference between religious freedom and biblical truth and how the pulpit particularly ought to deal with that on a regular basis.
Well, I've told our church many, many times that I think that scriptural authority always trumps religious freedom. Mm-hmm. And the illustration that I've often used is that Daniel had absolutely no religious freedom whatsoever when he was taken captive into Babylon and then was tricked by the folks there in the stories of Daniel, where he continued, though, to serve his God. And he would rather, his heart was that he would rather stand up for scripture and what he knew was right than he would to have the freedoms. And he was willing to die for it. And I told our church, I said, are we so desirous to be at ease in Zion that we would prefer religious freedom over standing up for what the truth of God's word has to say? I certainly love our religious freedom, and I enjoy that, and I enjoy the fact that as a pastor I'm not being persecuted. But at the same time, I believe that we ought to stand up for scriptural authority. We believe in sola scriptura, scripture alone is our source of authority.
Amen.
And yes, and so I believe that that's a far greater issue for us than religious freedom.
Amen.
Well, Dr. Hahn, in that regard, let's go another step on here, if we can, and go to the why part of it. What is missing? Now, we know that according to most of the research, we have George Barna on regularly, and he has reported that less than 30% of those in the pulpit believe in the authority of Scripture. They think it contains the Word of God. It's not all. So that's mm-hmm. one part. We know that exists. The other part is there's a great lack of understanding, even coming out of our seminaries and Bible schools for a long time, on the whole understanding of the jurisdiction of civil government. It is clear, I'm asking you, what do you think is the greater culprit perhaps in providing this blind spot relative to embracing the mosque concept we're talking about, of saying that Islam should, you know, they should build a mosque in Jersey, that kind of thing, and going soft on it? Is it because we don't fully understand Scripture as all that it states, or is it because there's been a tremendous lack of the understanding of civil government and the role of civil government as it would relate to, protecting, identifying the enemies of our freedom and so forth? So I would just like your thoughts on that. Where do you think the real reason lies?
Well, I think that's exactly right. And I think that part of the big problem is we don't understand the intent of Islam. And I have often said, and this is my personal opinion, that Islam does not need to be treated with the freedoms of other religions because it's more Amen. Of a geopolitical movement.
Hey, there you go. Hey, there you go.
From a mm-hmm. movement. And if we don't understand that, we're going to get blindsided by it. Hmm. And I really believe with all my heart, soul, and mind that we are just walking into a trap, more or less. And you know, that Scripture, if we will stay by Scripture, Scripture will always direct us in the right way. If we go by the ways of our thoughts and the ways of liberal ideas and philosophies, we're going to walk into a path of destruction. But if we stay with the Scripture, with the Word of God, with the authority of God's Word, then we're going to find our path will be protected. Far greater, our liberties will be protected by doing that. And I just feel like that's the key issue here.
You know, years ago, when I first started using the term ideology with respect to Islam, that it is an ideology, not a religion.
Yes.
I was questioned, to be honest with you, Dr. Hahn, about that, by a gentleman who said, why do you call it an ideology? It's religion. And I said, well, it has religious elements. But it is more than anything else an ideological position. It has a political component. It certainly has a legal component in the form of Sharia. And unlike any other quote-unquote religion on the face of the planet, Islam is not about just belief and practicing one's beliefs, religious beliefs, and worship of a deity. It is about implementing Sharia law, which governs every aspect of life. And you said it very, very well earlier. There is not a country on the face of the planet that, if the roles were reversed, would be crusading for religious liberty for those of us who do not comply with Sharia law and with Islamic theology. It does not work that way. 1,400 years of Islamic expansion across the globe has always been at the tip of a sword, and it has eradicated all contrary belief. Well, friends, our guest today has been Dr. Dean Hahn. Dean, we want to thank you so much for being on with us today. Your insights have been powerful, and even more powerful is your obvious commitment to the truth. Thank you so much for being our guest, and thank you for your stand for truth. When we come back, friends, you're not going to believe who made it into the GOP retreat in Philadelphia this past weekend. You're going to find out about that and a whole lot more after this very brief timeout.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
I'm sitting here right now looking at the beautiful, full-color Founders Bible. In addition to the trustworthy New American Standard text, it contains original historical artwork, as well as 64 full-color insert pages, 150 biographies or insightful quotes from the Founders, and 450 pages of embedded commentary highlighting biblical insights. This beautiful leather-bound volume produced by historian David Barton has a gold-embossed APN logo on the front. It can be yours this month as you support APN with a gift of $250 or more. To see it and make your gift, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. If you can't send $250 right now, we'd still like to hear from you. In gratitude for a gift of any amount, we'll send you a wonderful audio CD by Sam Rohr entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Nation. It will bless and challenge you. Let us hear from you today. Remember, all gifts to APN are tax deductible. Thank you, and God bless you.
A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
Your child deserves the best. Shouldn't that include an exceptional education? PA Leadership Charter School is a kindergarten through 12th grade online public school serving students across Pennsylvania. Voted number one cyber school in PA, PA Leadership Charter School provides a flexible but structured approach to education. Visit PALCS.org or call 1-877-725-2785 to learn more. That's PALCS.org. PA Leadership Charter School is training tomorrow's leaders today.
Here's Minute with the Master, brought to you by Bella Victor.
Today's question is, how can I have peace when everything around me and within me is in turmoil? Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Yes, Jesus is the source of peace. In John 16:33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might find peace. Real peace is possible only in Christ. It is not found in others or things around us. And we can enjoy this peace by trusting in Him and not allowing our hearts to be troubled. In Isaiah 26:3, we read, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Yes, my dear friend, we need to trust Him with what's happening in our life. We need to have our thoughts focused on Him. We should not let our hearts be troubled.
This is A Liberating Truth, brought to you by Bella Victor. For more information, contact Bella at MinuteWithTheMaster.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, at the GOP retreat over the weekend, a woman impersonated the wife of a GOP lawmaker and snuck into the Congressional Republican retreat in Philadelphia Actually, it was on Thursday, the same day that Donald Trump and Vice President Mike Pence appeared at the retreat. And of course, all this came out late Saturday as far as the press being notified. The institute that conducted the retreat, Mark Strand, did not say that the impersonator was the person who also leaked an audio of this, I don't want to say highly secretive GOP retreat, but it's certainly something that they did not want to go public. But another individual, or perhaps even this individual that snuck in, released an audio tape of some of the discussions that were taking place. And of course, that impersonator has not yet been identified to my knowledge. And if they do ultimately release that name, we'll let you know. I'd love to talk about this, Sam and Gary, a little bit more, but I want to use this as a springboard to go back to something we've been talking about in the program up to this point. It's one thing for an imposter to infiltrate a GOP retreat. I mean, that's something obviously that needs to be looked into. How could this happen? But it's something else altogether for an imposter to enter into government agencies and infiltrate the entire United States government, even our security apparatus, which is what we have said many times on this program, Sam, has taken place with respect to Islam. Barack Obama has placed in positions of high leadership men who are committed to Sharia law and the thorough implementation of Islamic ideology. And our discussion today and Donald Trump's suspension of refugees and immigrants coming into the country all brings this to the forefront. Sam, you know, as well as Gary, you know that we have been and will continue to be labeled as unloving, hate mongers, violators of scriptural principle, violators of the spirit of Lady Liberty, by saying that these folks should not be allowed unmitigated access into our country without being thoroughly vetted. Sam, please make a case that we are not only being unchristian, we are being thoroughly Christian and also thoroughly constitutional.
Well, Dave, there are a lot of different places to go. Number one, historically from this country, we have had from the very beginning an understanding that not all immigrants are equal. In other words, the assumption has been, and not just assumption, really the statement, the commitment, that when a person would come, they would assimilate, meaning they would become a part of our country. They would commit to supporting our laws, our Constitution. They were to become a part of the nature and the fabric of this nation as it was. Historically, we are a city on a hill. We were a light to the nations. Why? Because of the freedom that has been here, and we offer to the true downtrodden, the poor, those who have been persecuted in other countries. We have been that bastion of hope. But that bastion of hope, Dave, cannot ever continue if you just say, come on in, whoever you are, we don't care whether you assimilate or not. And yet that has been the practice of the last 8 years, and really somewhat beyond even, Dave. It was happening prior to that. And the result of it is you have a nation divided. You have people who are here who do not want to become a part of the United States of America or our Constitution. And I'll stop with this. The critical part here, and why the emphasis by Donald Trump on these individuals from these seven nations, these seven hardcore jihadist Islamic nations, is because no good Muslim, I put it that way, good Muslim, mosque attending Muslim, a person who actually says, I want to live by the Quran, none of them by the Quran can in fact ever support a constitutional republic. It is a violation of the Quran to support the Constitution of the United States, because for them it is a man-made document, and it is inferior to the Quran. So Dave, to not do such here is like a person saying, all right, I have a house, I lock it up at night because I don't want people to kill my children and my wife and myself when we're sleeping, but we're instead going to say, hey, we're going to open the door and you publish online, my locks are open, they're never locked, my house is open, come in, eat my food, sleep in my bed, stay as long as you want, we don't care. Now, what person in a practical sense, Dave, would ever do that? They wouldn't, in their right mind. And simply those in position of authority in Washington are basically saying, this is our house, the United States of America, and we have a lock on the door, and the enemy, we don't want to purposely invite them in.
That is an excellent statement, Sam. And friends, I want to underscore what Sam just said. There is absolutely no way that Islamic ideology Islamic theology, Sharia law, all of these components that Sam put underneath the heading of if you're a good Muslim, if you adhere to these things, which all good Muslims do, they support the five pillars of Islam, they read the Quran, they pray five times a day, they are committed to the advancement of Sharia law around the world, and especially in what they consider to be the great Satan, the United States of America. That is what they want. And friends, it is incompatible with them that there could be a U.S. Constitution and a different governmental framework other than Sharia law. So when we say or listen to those that would say otherwise, we are deceiving ourselves. Gary, let me go to you. Is it not beyond encouraging, in fact, almost like inhaling pure oxygen, to listen to a pastor who has been willing to take the kind of stand Dr. Dean Hahn has taken and others have taken along with him for the truth, and yet at the same time understands the complexities and yet in many ways the simplicity of what is Islamic ideology, that they're bent on the destruction of America and they have no place here if that is what they believe. Gary, talk about that a little bit. You're a pastor. You've got to greatly appreciate that.
Well, I do appreciate it. And I think it goes back to what he actually brought up, I think, in the first segment that he was on with us, and that is the idea of biblical truth and biblical authority. You know, here on Stand in the Gap, we talk about the biblical worldview. And to say it in short, the biblical worldview is looking at everything through the eyes of Scripture. Now, one of the problems with many people in the pulpit today, as well as obviously many people in government, is that they do not look at Islam through the eyes of the Scripture. You see, everything that we believe, everything that we uphold, everything that we live by must be guided by the Word of God. And if it is not guided by the Word of God, then it is to be rejected. It is to be resisted. And there is no way, shape, or form that Islam is guided by the Word of God. Now, when you have a pastor, as Dr. Hahn was, who understands these issues, and when he clearly portrays and teaches about these issues. That's what the pulpits of America need today. It's very refreshing to see individuals like him. Would to God that more pastors would believe in biblical authority and see everything through the eyes of the Scripture. The whole Islamic situation would be resolved, David. We would not be seeing pastors lining up with Islam. We would see pastors resisting Islam for what it is.
And again, we're talking about resisting the ideology of Islam. Obviously, the people that are enslaved in that false ideology, we want to see them come to faith in Christ. But you do not allow an enemy to come into the country in the form of an ideological belief system that is bent on your destruction, and then allow people to come in carrying that evil ideology and its poison, wanting to perpetrate acts of terror in the United States. So what our current president is doing is not only constitutional, it's not only in accordance with his oath, we believe it is biblical. Sam, I want you to take us to God's throne of grace. We've been trying to end the program in prayer. Can you do that very, very quickly and pray for God's wisdom and protection?
Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you are in control. We come to you with these needs before us and would ask, O Lord, that you would intervene on behalf of us as a nation. Undergird, surround, and protect those in Washington and all of those who are in a position of enforcing the law. Lord, may they do that to the best of their ability for the protection of all and the glorification of who you are, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Friends, don't miss tomorrow's program 23 hours from now. Lots of stuff out there about which we need to talk, and I don't want you to miss any of it as we stand in the gap for truth on a daily basis. Have a blessed afternoon.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180.